Hey everybody, JJ Cooper, Carlos Collazo, another Baseball America draft podcast, and I think we've got a fun one today. You know, we've got a lot that we're doing on the draft. We've rolled out the expansion to 400. We've expanded the high school and college list to match that. Carlos is working on a mock draft that by, depending on when you're listening to this, it will be out.
If it's out by the time you're listening to this, I'll say you're a bad BA draft podcast listener because it's been several days. But maybe if you got a busy weekend, I guess we'll give you a pass this time.
Right. I was going to say the mock draft will be out Monday, and then we're working on expanding to 500. And we just dropped senior sign list to the top 50, which will expand that as well.
Yep.
It's a lot of stuff up at baseballamerica.com as always. But today, what we're going to do is have a little bit of a draft. We're covering the draft, so we're going to draft. But we're going to draft a little different. I think we've done this. You and Peter have done this before, yeah. Where we're going to draft tools. We're going to draft pretty straightforward. We're going to go back and forth, and we're going to pick. Now, I would say there are criteria for this, right? Landon Harrison not eligible for best power prospect in this because he's not draft eligible.
Yeah, this is one of the things I haven't been able to do quite as much prep prior to the show as I would have liked because some calls came up for me. But when I was thinking through a lot of these pitching tools, I was like, man, like a lot of the tools I want to take are next year's draft class. So just 2026 eligibles were
focused. Just 26 eligibles. And by the way, you say that, I would say that there were multiple categories where like the guys I was coming up with, like I'll tell you right now, if you said best hitting prospect, a little sneak peek to next year, I would love to kind of dive a little deeper into Gavin Kelly, the second baseman catcher, which talk about what a weird combo that is, but like you can really hit. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
Maybe following in JJ Weatherholt's, footsteps.
Yeah. So break us down. What are the tools we're drafting today? Any other limitations? Can we double up on players? How do you want to do this, JJ?
So here are the tools, and I would say, yes, we can double up on players. I would say that each of us can only pick a player once, right?
And for audio listeners only, we're doing best fastball, best secondary pitch, best control and command, best hit tool, best power, best speed, best defense.
Right, and you can we did leave some of those things out there. We're not going to say best slider, class curveball, and then change up and all that, best splitter. Like, we're going to keep it pretty – we want to keep this in a relatively, you know, listenable length here. I know that some of you would love for us to do best arm, would love us to do best strike zone discipline, you know, like really go detail, but we'll cover some of that as we do this. You know, it's not something where we're just going to look at this and say, oh, you know, like we're not going to name a name and then go on. We're going to explain why. And
right. All
that. So we're going to snake this back and forth. But Carlos, since I did have a little bit more time to work on this, we're going to start this by saying, I'll let you have first pick with best fastball and with best secondary. So it gives you a little bit of a chance to pick, because I've got multiple guys for both of these.
Okay, cool. Well, I feel like I should be able to be okay, even if you were going first on either of these. I'll have someone interesting. It's just a matter of if you'll scoop me on some categories I really like. But for best fastball, I don't think I'm going to overthink this one too much. I feel like we've got a really unique fastball here that makes a ton of sense to pick 1-1. And I'm going to go with Massachusetts prep left-hander Brody Bumila. Probably not too surprising. It's a 6'9" left-hander who's thrown 101 like regularly in the upper 90s. It's not just power. It's also elite extension. It's pretty rare spin capacity for that pitch. Like, everything about it should allow him to have or currently have an elite fastball. There are scouts who are kind of no hesitation putting 80 grades on this fastball. And I feel like while an 80 should be rare air, like it does not bother me at all that people are just not thinking and saying this is an 80. Like, if this is not, I don't really know what would be.
So that actually leads into kind of like, so when I was thinking about this, right. And I agree with you. That's why I gave you the first pick, because I think there's an obvious number one. Yeah. I can go with the second guy and still feel pretty good about it. But
right.
Okay, let's talk about this a little bit, though. When you say like best fastball now, right? I would say that there are kind of like three kind of prongs to that stool, right? Three legs to that stool that you're talking about. One is velocity. To me, you cannot have a 93 mile an hour fastball that's an elite fastball. I know that there was a time where some people were woefully misguided and thought, oh, the quality of a fastball is more about the movement than the velocity. No, the quality of fastball is about the velocity and the movement.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that velocity is a key part of that, because velocity shortens the decision time for a hitter. Mm-hmm. If you're a hitter, more time to decide, more time to recognize is always better than less, you know? And so that jumps out. So that's one leg.
Yeah.
The movement profile of the pitch, the way the pitch moves, is another key leg of a fastball, though, because if your fastball moves like most fastballs, hitters are going to have a much easier time, as I see it, hitting that fastball than one that is unusual to them. Now,
right.
I would say that it's not that those characteristics aren't as valuable as they were a decade ago, I would say, because we are now in the world of, like, especially when you talk about a high IVB fastball at the top of the zone, hitters train for that now. You know, yeah. You now have the cues.
What made that pitch rare 10 years ago is just less rare, because we've discovered it's effective. People have selected for it. People have pitch designed for it. So it's just more common. So yeah, I do think like you've talked about this a lot, but hitters are recognizing patterns, and the more you can have like an outlier look, the more difficult is going to be for hitters to like track and process that subconsciously. But I do think it's just, I'm curious who you're going to follow up with, because
one point I want to make on that though is, but also I do think in addition to seeing more of them, I do think the training for it, to have a TriJect machine that can actually like replicate a pitch that you could see in some cases, or to have the visual cue of swing a ball above one ball above where you think it is, things like that have helped hitters kind of. And then the third prong I would say is this though, the third leg of the stool is you also have to be able to throw it to locate it if you can't locate it. And I would say that really to have a very successful fastball, you need two of those three. If you have one, you're not going to be that successful. I think Brody Bumilla has a chance to have all three, but I would say that right now he definitely has two of those legs.
Right.
The velocity is as hard as anyone throws from the left side, basically.
And
he's got really good movement.
This is always something that came up with our drafts with Peter. And I guess before we continue moving forward, I'm curious how you view it, because you mentioned the control and command piece. So we are drafting control and command separately. So are you factoring in control and command to your individual pitches? Because I do think there are some erratic strike throwers who, if you're just purely drafting that pitch in a vacuum, you maybe would discount the control and command, but maybe it's just interesting to think through how we could think of it.
It's even more so with a secondary pitch, but I do factor it in. To me, it plays a part in it.
Yep.
Secondary, especially, like, you can have the nastiest slider in the world. If you cannot throw it for a strike, I do not care.
Right.
Yeah. If you throw a slider that is otherworldly, but the hitter recognizes it and takes it every time, it's not a good pitch.
And it makes sense in this draft too, because in some of our previous tools draft, we're like stacking tools to create a hypothetical player. And this one, we're taking the best tools. So you kind of do need to factor it in more in that case. So,
my guy I'm going to go with is UCLA's Cal Randall, who I would say
Jacob Rudner approved.
Jacob Rudner loves Cal Randall, but I would say the thing that stands out about him is that he really is a case of a pitcher who has an elite fastball and really doesn't have much of anything else right now. Like, he doesn't even, I believe his pitch ratio this year is something like 85% fastballs, because I think he's throwing like sub 25 sliders and changeups.
It does feel like that sort of Thatcher Hurd threshold of elite fastball usage pitchers. And I pulled up right now. He does have an 87% fastball usage. No other pitch has he thrown more than 6% of the time, essentially. He's got some sliders and changeups mixed in. But an 87% usage fastball, JJ, with a 40% miss rate in college, pretty exceptional.
So what Randall has is he does have elite velocity. He's 95, 96, 97 regularly. He's touched 100.
Mm-hmm.
He has exceptional extension. It's almost 7 feet of extension, which makes it, again, unusual from that standpoint. And then you throw in, it does have the life at the top of the zone. He does throw it from a flat plane. So it is a pitch that will get you more swings and misses than most.
Yep.
You have all of that there together. When you talk about elite velocity, and by the way, I will also say, and I would say his command and his control, let's start with control. His control of it is average. I would say like he does scatter it some, but he also, I think some of the scattering, I think his command might be a little better than that, because some of the scattering is early count if you look at his fastball placement in two strike and three ball counts, it's better than it is in early count. So I could see it where it's like, I'm going to let it kind of eat a little bit. And yeah, now I've got to dial it in a little bit. So I think he's kind of my best fastball. There are other guys out there, but I do think that those two, we'll do this with each of them. Is there anyone else that like you really thought about? Like, I feel like Bumilla is the just clear number one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Cal Randall makes a lot of sense too. And I think there's probably some comfort that teams would have with selecting his, just because you can feel a lot more confident in the data that you're actually getting on that pitch. And just the performance against it has also really held up well. I don't think there are too many people who are like ultra concerned about, oh, will Brody Bumilla's fastball play? We've only gotten to see him against Massachusetts hitters. I think there's a lot of confidence in like how you can project out pitches at the next level too. I mean, there are plenty of guys I feel like we could name, but there's no one who I'm like, oh, we definitely need to mention.
I just want to make sure there's not a guy who we're like, okay, no, everyone's going to scream at us, how did you not mention so-and-so?
I mean, I'm sure that will certainly happen, but, you know, we won't be able to control them.
Leave your comments. I do read them. I do try to respond. Okay, so Carlos, like I said, your little concession of I got to have more time to prep for this is you also get to go first here. Best secondary pitch.
Okay, I'm going to stick with a left-handed pitcher. I'm going to go to the college demographic, and I am going to take the slider of Arizona State left-hander Cole Carlone. See, you've known exactly who I'm going with. I'm sure Carlone was considered
for. That was my number one, too.
Yeah, I feel like Carlone, among the top pitchers in this class, I feel like Carlone's slider gets talked about as a potential 70 grade offering as much or more than any other pitcher in this class, maybe high school or college. I don't feel like we have the same volume of 70 grade secondaries that we've had in some other classes. This year, maybe you'll bring up a name it feels like there are a lot of really good pitchers. I don't feel like there is as quite as much loud pure secondaries as we have in the past. And with Carlone's slider, what I like about it, obviously great performance, great results against it, but he's also throwing it just over half the time.
Right. The only misnomer is it's not a secondary pitch for him. It's his primary pitch, and his fastball is a secondary.
Yeah. If you wanted to discount this and make me choose someone else, I guess I would have to change it, but it's upper 80s power slider. It doesn't have a lot of visible movement. It's one of these like tighter, shorter breaking balls. But it gets a ridiculous amount of miss, 56% miss rate for the slider. Again, you see miss rates with breaking balls higher than fastballs commonly, but I am impressed with how frequently he uses it and still getting those high miss rates. Hitters really struggle to perform against it when they do connect. Again, we consistently hear 70 grade, 60 grade evaluations on the breaking ball. And I just think the power of the pitch, and again, he does throw it for strikes at an above average rate, I would say right now. Like, it is his primary pitch. He's clearly very comfortable with it in any count. I think it's also a platoon neutral sort of breaking ball. Like, it should be effective against both lefties and righties. That's kind of the part of the reason he can't throw it so much. But yeah, I think this is a potential wipeout offering.
The other thing that going back to the control command part of this, right? He throws it for strikes, but also on the command component, you can see how he manipulates it, right? You talked about the movement of it. The thing I'll say about it, though, is that he has the ability, like the movement he gets on that pitch in two strikes, and especially the location in two strikes, is consistently different. Like, if he's 2-1, we said his slider is his primary pitch. He will throw a 2-1 slider that he knows I can throw that in the zone. He actually, I believe, throws it more consistently for strikes than his fastball. But like, if he's behind in the count and he throws a slider, I think it's a 68% strike rate. If he's ahead in the count, two strike count, it's like a 60% strike rate because he's going to then get it either a little bit off the plate or a little bit below the zone is where it's going to end up, where he's putting it in a you're not hitting it kind of place. And if you pretty much then he's it's in the finishing location. It's rather than being just a strike, it's that finishing pitch. I think he's the clear number one best secondary pitch in this group. But I will say again, I feel pretty good about this guy as the number two, which is I'm going to go with FSU's Trey Beard and go with his changeup.
Yeah, really good one.
I would say with Beard, like kind of what we're just talking about, like to have a changeup that is quality, conviction obviously is a key component of it. And you kind of know the guys who really believe in it. Trey Beard's changeup will basically, I think, easily guide him through the lower levels of pro ball as well. Mm-hmm. Now we'll see kind of everything else down the road, how everything else kind of plays up to kind of get him. I think his long-term success is going to be about how the rest of his pitches end up being, right. But the changeup is kind of like, he knows he has it. He believes in it. He can throw it back to back and hitters are like still flailing at it. It's the kind of pitch you want to see from a guy who, you know, if you're going to have a really good changeup, believe in it, use it. And he does. Mm-hmm. And so I do think with this one, obviously it's such a broad category that,
right.
But I do think it's interesting. Like this is not a great pitching class at the top. We've talked about like the guys who are at the top of this class. I don't think that really Cameron Flukey or Jackson Flora, who are top two rated pitchers right now on the, mm-hmm. in the board, neither of them have like a truly elite secondary, I would say. Do you like?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you made a case for Jackson Flora's slider or even his changeup, if you really like that, that would be sensible to me. But I don't think, no, it's not like a situation where you've got like a Chase Burns breaking ball or a Paul Skene slider. Or, yeah, I do think there are maybe some more questions that you might have. Jackson Flora's stuff is really good. So I think he has multiple pitches that could fit, but I think both the pitches we picked, like I just have more confidence that they are like easy plus or better offerings.
So that gets back to me. I'll get to make my first pick, and I'm going to do for best control command, something that I don't think I would do almost any other year.
Whoa.
Which is,
are you about to go high school?
I'm going to go high school.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Because I do believe that the best control command in this class is Carson Bowman. The South Carolina lefty who,
and spelled with an O at the end of his name.
Yes,
as well.
Thank you.
I did, for the visual.
Yes, thank you. Yep. I do know that. but who, it is his calling card, right? Like yes. You often, even like, okay, the key part of this is that we should probably explain in case someone does not know. Like I said, control and command. They're two different things, right? Control is your ability to throw strikes. You could really, I would say, control can largely be summarized. You can look at walk percentage, strike percentage,
yep.
And that tells you control. Yep. Command's something different. Command is something that you know it when you see it, but at the same time, it's almost impossible because you have to derive intent. You have to be able to ask the pitcher what he actually meant to do.
Right.
And even the location of the catcher's mitt is not always that, but command is the ability to throw the pitch where you want. Like I always think of in recent years, and I know he just had an outing where he walked 8, I believe, but Rhett Lauder is a guy who stood out to me for his command because it's like, okay, he's throwing that pitch here. And if he missed another 6 inches down, it would be a bad pitch, but it's a good pitch because he located it there or, you know, all that. Right. Bowman is really impressive in that he throws strikes with intent and fills the zone. Just coming off of, by the way, as we're recording this, coming off of a perfect game in his last start, I think 19 Ks. It's like best outing of the season so far for him by far. He's had a little bit of up and down with his velocity of his stuff this spring. Not as good as it was last summer, but control and command is there. I know he has actually walked a couple of guys this spring, which I'm almost shocked by.
The real separator for me with Bowman is his ability to land the secondaries in particular and to have confidence commanding those pitches is just incredibly rare at the level that he does it for a high school pitcher. And I feel like that is maybe just distinguishes him from almost all the other players in this high school pitching class. Like if you wanted, I talked about this with a lot of scouts more after the summer, but if you need to win a game and you need to feel confident that someone's going to give you a chance to win a game, Carson Bowman, because of his feel for all of these pitches, the fastball, the curveball, the slider, like it's just really impressive feel to locate all those. His strike rates from the circuit last year are incredibly impressive. It's just rare for me to see a high school pitcher who's as consistent with multiple secondaries as Bowman is.
And with legit stuff too, right? Like, I mean, one thing I'll say about this is the best high school control that I've, maybe one of the best, at least, that I've ever seen. I just blanked those names. The the Royals first baseman who just was DFA'd last year. Was a two-way Prado? Guy. Huh?
Prado?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Nick Prado. I watched Nick Prado at HSI.
Yeah.
It's one of the most impressive outings I've ever seen. He was just carving through, like, I think he made it through, like, the first three innings in, like, 18 pitches. Every one of them exquisitely looked at. It's like 17 strikes. It was amazing.
Yeah, you will in the high school class. You always have these, like, no stuff, shorter guys right. who just command and carve and dice. But yeah, you're right.
But you're talking about this is with stuff.
Real pro stuff to go with it.
Okay, so now I'm putting you on the spot, though, because this one I would say, I feel like that actually is crazy to say, but that was one that jumps out. But there are other guys that are easy. You know, you can definitely pick here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Bowman would have been the guy win on the high school side. I actually thought you were going to go with UCLA right-hander Logan Redeman, because I feel like on the college side, he is kind of the maybe the most obvious player, because he's a prominent, likely first rounder, depending on what's going on with his health. Hopefully he comes back.
Is that your pick?
Gets back on the mound. Yeah, I'm picking Logan Redeman, UCLA right-hander. I mean, I really liked him coming into this spring as a sleeper because of the command first and foremost. He's a guy who, I think if you look at the control, like you said, he's never walked more than 6% of batters in a single season. That's exceptional. It was 5.9% in 24. As a freshman with San Diego, it was 5.3% in 25. So far this year in 2026 through 10 starts, 59 innings, 4.7% walk rate. And like you can feel confident, I feel like, that he has at least 60 control. If you want to dive further into the command, I do think he does some of the location specifics with his pitch mix that you want to see. He's locating the fastball up at the top of the zone. The changeup is consistently down into his arm side. The slider is down into his glove side. I feel like he uses his pitches in the locations where they perform their best. And he's jumping into the first round now because he layered on more strength and power and velocity on top of that strike throwing. I would imagine that like he's on a very short list of players who teams are feeling confident that it's a slam dunk starter profile. And so for me, it's hard to not pick anyone other than Redeman after you took Bowman. But I did have one backup in case you went Redeman and I didn't want to go with the high school arm.
Well, I was going to say that the other one I had was Ben Blair at Liberty. He was the other one who really stood out to me.
He was one I thought about. And then the guy I probably would have taken would have been Grant Govell at Southern California. I feel like his control is pretty exceptional as well. So those are two other honorable mentions here.
So we have constructed our mythical best tool pitcher. And right after this break, we will dive into the position players. We'll be right back. And we're back. So Carlos, now we move on to hitters. And I believe that means, yep, it is you. You get to go first again.
Alex, so. Well, I feel like you kind of drew the really short end of the stick here, because I feel like
this is tough.
I feel like the difference between one and two in this category is maybe as extreme as any category, because if I didn't get my number one player, I would be really torn over who to take. The no-brainer selection here is Grady Emerson, Texas high school shortstop. I mean, he is an exceptional hitter. It would not be surprising to me if people were putting 70 grade hit tools on him. The fact that we did that with Termar Johnson will maybe have me a little bit gun shy about putting that on a high school hitter. But in terms of a swing you like to see, the mechanics of how the swing works, how easy it is, how clean the path is, his timing, his contact ability, his ability to use the entire field, he checks all the boxes. He has basically his entire high school's career of high level performance in high school, in the summer, travel ball, showcases, Team USA. It's just a supremely accomplished high school hitter. If you can't feel confident that Grady Emerson is a 60 hitter in this class, I truly don't know that you can say that about anyone. It's why he's the top ranked high school player in the class. It's why he's number two on the board behind Rock Chalowski. The hit tool is the hardest to scout and evaluate. But again, he will be one of those players where if he does not hit in pro ball, I will throw my hands up and be like, if he didn't hit, I don't know how we're supposed to know if anyone hits. It's Grady is just a super accomplished hitter. And I'm thrilled to be able to select first here, because I have no idea who you're going to take.
And I'm screwed. Just yeah. Be honest. I mean, like, I really did. Like, this is where I'm saying, like, this is where I was like, yeah. I had like multiple guys from the next year's draft that I'm probably more confident about, like a Gavin Kelly. I would really like, but Gavin Kelly's not eligible for this.
Landon
Look at what you're going to make me do. Do you know what you're going to make me do?
Yeah, you're going to be, I'll finally get someone else who's who's actually pumping up my guy at LSU over there in Baton Rouge. I feel like that's your only option here, right? I mean, I do think
I'm going to have to do it. I'm saying like it is. And again, it's not, I'm making a joke here about it. I'm not opposed to Derek Curiel at LSU, but, but Derek Curiel is kind of, that's what his calling card is, right? Like the fact, if Derek Curiel is a first round pick, there's athleticism here, but really you are believing in the hit tool. Outside of him, yep. One of the things that stands out is there are some other guys like who, I mean, okay, there are a couple of guys who are really performing, right? Like Jaron Avicula, the Georgia Tech second baseman, is hitting 422.
By the way, if you wanted to take his hit tool, I think that would be really defensible here.
I thought about it. I really did. I thought about it because, like, you could just say with him. But one of the things that really does stand out is there's not a Caden Bodine in this class is the way I would say it, right? Like that guy who, when we talk about hit tool, we're not talking about power here as much. We're talking about, I would say that, again, we're looking at the ability to hit for average, the ability to make a ton of contact and make good swing decisions, right? And there's not that guy. Some of these guys, like, Nick Madrigal was exactly that guy in college. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the contact rate being exceptional didn't translate as much because of the lack of power. Right. Chandler Simpson was that guy. Right. You know, look, J.J. Weatherholt was that guy. But I should speak about Curiel here. Curiel has long had a track record of hitting. He does make a ton of contact. And by the way, he does hit the ball reasonably hard too. So it's not like, this is not a slappier, you know, this is not Slappy McGee.
This is one of my fun facts that I bring up when I'm on calls with people talking about the class is Derek Curiel is hitting the ball harder this spring than a number of other players who you would expect to be more power oriented profiles than him. And I'm really curious to see how this one pans out. But.
And I will say like that, but if you said we're going to pick a top 10 for this, it'd have been painful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. The other two that I feel like if you want to throw maybe a hat tip, you mentioned Advincula. I do think Rock Chulosky, if you want to say he could be a plus hitter, that would be defensible. I think Chris Akopian would be another player who I thought about at Texas A&M, like his combination of contact skills, performance, and he has the extra impact. But in terms of like, pure hitters, a lot of contact, zone contact, use the entire field. Like, yeah, Curiel. These feel like the right two names for me in this class.
Okay. I do get to go first on best power, but I will also say on this one, because, okay, when we say power here, we're not talking about raw, right? We are, like, this is where this gets tricky. If you, this would be a lot easier if we were just saying who hits the ball the hardest, right?
Yeah.
If that was the case, I'd just probably say Miles Bailey. And we're done, you know, but this is what we're saying is who projects to hit the most homers per season in the major leagues down the road.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets trickier. Cause if you have the power, but you don't get to it in games because of contact concerns or really even sometimes profile concerns, then that's not as significant. I'm going to go Blake Bowen.
Okay.
And this one I struggled with too. Like I really went back and forth on this. There are a couple of guys who, if you wanted to go very analytical about it, like Lorenzo Carrier at Pittsburgh hits the ball really hard, but he's also a fifth year senior, right? Like, so he should be more into kind of the man strength than most of the guys in the class, you know, but Bowen kind of like stands out. Like this is kind of his calling card. I will say I'm not convicted on this one though. Like this is one where I kind of hope for my sanity's sake that you're going to tell me somebody where I'm like, why didn't I pick that? But when I looked at it and then I'll talk about some of the other guys I looked at, I didn't really come away with one where it's like, this is the, I really did. I looked at Miles Bailey longer than I expected to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense for you to take a long, hard look at Miles Bailey because even though, like, he has missed questions, he's also a player who has consistently gotten to his power at high levels in college baseball. So I don't think that's crazy. I think for me, the safest option for this is to take one of the better power hitters who's going to go in the first round because if you're going to think about like the guys who are going to get to the big leagues and do it, presumably your best power hitters are going to go early, right? And I think that there are some intriguing, like, I wouldn't say they're dark horse, but a guy like Caden Bogenpohl, he hits the ball incredibly hard, but I have some like batted ball angle questions with him. I have some contact questions with him. Another player I'm thinking about is like Logan Hughes at Texas Tech. I do have maybe less swing and miss concerns than I would have with like a Caden Sorrell, who would be another option for me here. But I think I'm just going to go with Sawyer Strohsnyder at TCU. I do think he hits the ball as hard as most of the top sluggers in college baseball. There are some missed questions that give me a little bit of pause here, but I think he has the athleticism to make adjustments at the next level. We've seen him make some adjustments to chase with his chase rate this spring. I wish that I felt a little bit more confident in the pure contact skills in hitting ability here with Strohsnyder. But I've been a fan of him, and I just am buying into the athlete here to make the adjustments that I think are necessary. I think in terms of raw power, it's easy plus. It's just a matter of like, will he be able to make the adjustments against pro pitching to get into that plus power in games?
Other one I thought of that I did not expect to until I really started diving into it was Texas's Carson Tinney.
That's a really good one too. Yeah, he has even more of the miss concerns for me, but yeah, that's a good one.
He has legitimate swing and miss concerns, but he hits the ball as hard as pretty much anyone out there in college baseball this year. Mm-hmm. And I would say kind of with that, like when he hits the ball, he hits it exceptionally hard. And unlike a lot of the guys who hit the ball really hard, his hitting the ball hard is generally on a slight loft to the pull side in the air. So like, right. I would say that you can develop those things and all, but right. For a guy who's maximizing it right now, his 17 homers, have not come cheaply. He does right. Do that very, very well. But I will say this is not a great power class.
I think a couple of the high school names who would have been interesting candidates would have been Dominic Santarelli, who we both got to see last summer. Mm-hmm. Some of the most exciting raw power in the class, first baseman outfielder out of Wisconsin, and then Bo Lawrence in South Carolina. I feel like Lawrence might have one of the more exciting hit power combos with a swing and a body that just could allow him to get to his power easily at the next level. 6'5", 200 pounds, really just works well. I think he creates great leverage with his swing. So those are two other candidates that I would have considered.
I feel like this gets easier here.
Yeah, speed is always one of the easier
categories. I only put two guys down for this because I feel like, okay, you'll pick one, I'll probably pick the other. Okay, so you get the first pick here.
Yeah, I'll just take Eric Booth Jr., Mississippi high school outfielder, really good chance to be a top 10 overall pick. He ran the best individual 60 time at East Coast Pro with consistent 80 grade times in games. If it's not 80, it's pretty consistently a 70. He can really just fly. I mean, I don't know how much there is to say more about speed. Like you said, speed is kind of just speed, huge range in the outfield. I think right now he's probably a better pure runner than he is defender, but again, if he can refine some of his route running ability to capitalize on his speed more efficiently in the outfield, he could be a fantastic defender, and he should be able to put plenty of pressure on opposing infields when he's getting out of the box, and on the bases for opposing batteries. So yeah, I think it's pretty easy name here for Booth Jr. I'm curious if that was your number one or if you have
that was my number one.
Okay.
But okay, I've got two guys here though. So you know what? I'm going to mention him and then move on. Trevor Condon was kind of my backup high school guy. He's not as fast as Booth, but I do think we have him as a plus runner.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go a little bit further off the board. My last two picks, I'm going to go much further down our rankings, right? I'll go with Javar Williams at Wake Forest, who.
He can fly.
He can fly, and he's kind of like, that is the calling card, right? That is why he's on. He is not a first rounder. He's not probably a second or a third or a fourth or even maybe a fifth rounder. You know, he's more than that fifth, you know, but he's later on, but he is a guy who can fly, who can provide real impact with his speed, steals bases, he's hitting for average partly because of speed, good defender, you know, all that. But so Javar Williams at Wake Forest, that gives me someone – you know, so if you got the
that's the true baseball American pick right there. You're not taking the lazy way out and taking the obvious guy at the top of the board. You're getting into the depth of the class here for a legitimate 80 grade tool. I mean, I feel like there is always a track star on the draft list who like real questions about your hitting ability, maybe, but there's no doubting the run tool.
And that if you like good. That one, you're going to enjoy this one more. Because okay.
I know who you're taking for this one.
You know who I'm taking for this.
Well, you're picking first, so I can't even pick your pocket. But JJ, please tell us about the Duke shortstop that you've really
Jake Lambden at Duke. Because, okay, this is what I love about doing this, right? Is so, you know, we try to, as best we can, get as much information, much reporting as we can. But at the same time, we also, you know, trust but verify, right? Like if you get feedback on something, but you then go look at yourself to make sure that you don't just say, okay, this guy, you know, because there are times where you find you hear something and then you go look at it. It's like, I don't know if I believe that. Right. Well, I was writing up shortstops as we expanded from 300 to 400. And I got, you know, I was watching synergy of all these shortstops. And Jake Lambden was the one guy who, watching him, it was like, okay, stop what you guys are doing. And I put together a cut up and said, watch this, because he makes plays that very few shortstops make. He is on the 400. He'll be on the 500. If he gets drafted, it is not because of his offensive potential. It's not because of what he's going to do at the plate. It is because this guy is a really good defensive shortstop who combines range, hands, but I would also say awareness. Kind of one of the things that really stood out to me is there were two different plays where there was a runner on first and second, and he goes deep in the hole, makes the play. He was never going to throw the guy out at first, but because his momentum's taking him to third base, throws an accurate throw to third for force play outs in both cases. And gets the out, which gets the lead runner, by the way, which is important for one, but also got an out of a play that if you just didn't have that, and someone, I'm sure someone's going, well, that's, he should be making that play. It's like, you know what? If you watch a lot of college baseball, a lot of times they don't make that play. You have to have that awareness. You have to be thinking it through, knowing where you're going to go. If it's hit to my, if it's hit into the hole, I'm going to third. If it's hit to my left, I'm going for two. You know, like all those things, be prepared for it in advance. Jake Lambden consistently does that. I really enjoy watching him play defense. I'm going to enjoy watching him play defense in pro ball too.
Yeah, well, you've kind of left me with a ton of really good options. I mean,
Lucas, it's great. I mean, great defense. Like, there's a ton. Like, this is not one where I left the cupboard bare by any stretch. Especially, right. I left you everyone in the top 250.
Yeah, Lucas Moore at Louisville would be a candidate here in center field. I think he's a great defender. I think you've got high school shortstops like Aiden Ruiz in New York and Jacob Lombard in Florida, who just look the part defensively at shortstop. And then the two most obvious no-brainer selections for this one, if you're just looking at the top of our board, I think you've got multiple players who have 70 grade defensive upside, both Georgia Tech catcher Von Lackey and UCLA shortstop Rock Chalowski. I'm pretty torn on this one. Prior to you like talking about how you're excited for defense, I was like, I wonder which one of Lackey or Chalowski I'll get, because again, they're just such obvious picks. And I think, to be honest, like coming full circle and taking Rock Chalowski's defense feels like the move here. So I'm going to make that be the pick. I am partial to shortstops and watching them a little over catchers. I know you're the catching guru on staff, JJ. You love to break down film, and Lackey is a tremendous defender. I think both these guys have gold glove upside as defenders at premium positions. But for me, Chalowski has been just a joy to watch play defense dating back to his underclass days in high school. We got to see him at NHSI, where he was just such a buttery smooth defender in the field. He's only continued to improve as a defender. I think he has the elite footwork, the elite ball security and hands, the elite arm strength necessary for the position, or necessary to be a plus or better defender at the position. His instincts defensively really stand out to me as well. You mentioned it with Jake Lambden, but I think Rock has just a great understanding of when to use his arm, how to use his arm efficiently, his body control when he's moving up the middle, when he's ranging, or when he's moving in on a slow roller, I should say, when he's ranging up the middle, when he's ranging to the hole. I just think he does everything that you want to see from a pro shortstop at a high level. And it would be shocking to me if Rochkowski was not at the very least a very, very good defensive shortstop. I've never watched him play defense and be like, oh, he should have made that play and he didn't. He checks all the boxes for me. So
I like that we go full circle on it. And we ended up with our last two picks. We took someone who lammed in our most recent rankings, ranks 382nd on our top 400, and yeah. Rochkowski ranks number one. It's a
full
perfect
spectrum
way
to draft coverage here on the BA Draft Pod for you. There you go.
So, okay.
Rochkowski and JJ got to tell you about a player that maybe you didn't if you're not a
fan. if you knew about Jake Lambden's defense before I was talking about it, you know, either and you're not a Duke fan or like, right. You know, member of the Lambden family, kudos to you, you know, for being aware of that already. I did want to kind of wrap up by asking this, right? Like, so we just talked about that, but I'll kind of finish it by asking, who do you think is the most tooled up position player in this class? And who's the most tooled up pitcher, right?
I think Jacob Lombard is the most tooled up position player in the class. And I think if there were not questions about his pure hitting ability, you could maybe make a case.
Everything else could be above average, right?
Everything else could be plus.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, I think Jacob Lombard pretty easily. If I don't have Lombard to pick from, I probably would have taken Stroh Snyder. I've routinely mentioned that when I talk about Stroh Snyder. For Eric Booth, he's interesting, but I think the arm maybe holds him back. There are probably some guys I'm trying to think
about. I would actually throw Von Lackey in that, like also, like which you don't have to say for a catcher. Yeah. He's athletic for a catcher. I want to start by that, right? But but he does play catcher, and
I even think he's athletic for a catcher, maybe does him a disservice. Like he's just athletic, period, like regardless of position. And he runs exceptionally well for a catcher. He just runs well in general. Other guys, maybe to mention.
Let me just on that real quick.
Yeah.
That is one thing this class has, right? Like writing up, I think it's Garrett Wright at Tennessee, the transfer who was supposed to be their catcher fielder. And then he had a hand injury. So like, okay, you're a center fielder. Mm-hmm. There aren't many catchers who you can be like, okay, just go out in their center field.
Right. I think Kevin Roberts Jr. in Mississippi, super toolsy. I think Will Gasparino at UCLA, super toolsy. Let's see, Luke Williams, the high school shortstop out of Pennsylvania, is really toolsy and athletic. Will Yao is very tool. Like, there are a lot of players who have tools I could keep mentioning, but I think the ones we've named are probably the top guys. Pitcher is harder because I think it's kind of where we're lacking on the pitching side. Like, Who is a pitcher with like elite stuff but maybe doesn't have the control? Is that sort of the comp we're going for here, or the profile you're looking for?
I would just say like Toolsius is like it probably is Bumilla, like, but he doesn't have the best assortment.
I wouldn't even mention
like
him because I feel like the secondaries are real questions currently.
No, it depends on what I mean by Toolsy though is like I'm kind of going a little bit more like kind of projection, frame, athleticism, like. But he's also a big donkey. Like, but he's also
like
athletic.
Big upside. Who has the biggest upside in the class? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm asking, kind of more.
Well, then, yeah, Bumilla would be a good one. Joe Rojas would be a pretty obvious good one.
I think actually, and you mentioned like you had Cole Carlin as you know for a secondary. Like,
would be a good one.
He's a. If you really believe in him, like if you're like you really could be like the best is still yet to come. This is a lefty who can throw 100, who has a secondary pitch already. And it's just still kind of like developing into a starter.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this one often. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but like, what were we talking about with Garrett Crochet during his draft year? I feel like there are some similarities with how Cole Carlone is discussed, the profiles, the pros, the cons, the reliever profile.
That was like just such a weird year. That was
Garrett
the
Crochet, there were a lot of people who were like, I'm not taking the reliever in the first round and how look at it. So.
But Garrett Crochet, and he's a perfect example, like, okay, we're not having a reliever, but I will say everyone gets a pass because that was the 2020 draft, right? So that was like we got to see him. He looked really good.
Yeah.
And after four starts, the season ended.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a little harder. Like, we're getting, like, if Cole Carlin had just had Garrett Crochet's season, he wouldn't be a first-round pick. What's pushed him into this is having an actual season where you're like, oh, the stuff just keeps getting better and better. You know, that's
absolutely
a key part of it. But that is the Baseball America draft podcast for this week. We will have to summarize. So best fastball, Carlos took Brody Bumilla. I took Cal Randall. Best secondary pitch, Carlos took Cole Carlin at Arizona State slider. I took Trey Beard, FSU's changeup. Best control command, I took the high school lefty Carson Bolleman, whereas Carlos took UCLA's Logan Redeman. Best hit tool, I took LSU's Derek Curiel. And yes, I took him, not Carlos. Shocking development. But Carlos took Grady Emerson, the high school shortstop for Texas, who is, I think, by acclamation, the top hitting prospect in this class. Yep. Best power, I think Carlos got me here because he took Sawyer Strohsnyder, and I took Blake Bowen. Best speed, Carlos took Eric Booth Jr. I took Travar Williams. Best defense, I got him here. I took Jake Lambden, and he took that, you know, stiff Rokchalowski.
That plucky sleeper, personal cheese ball Rokchalowski.
It's a deep cut, but you get one of those, and I'll stick with the boring security that is the defense of Jake Lambden. But
cool, that was fun.
That was fun. So that is the draft podcast for this week. As always, check out everything over at baseballamerica.com. If you enjoyed this, I promise you there's so much over there that you are going to enjoy. Thank you to all the subscribers for allowing us to do what we do. For Carlos, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.